Grade 4 Conference, Lecture 7. I spoke in the last lecture about the Luciferic intervention, often spoke of as the temptation. And of course, you can only be tempted if you already have an astral body. That's a question Milton dealt with a lot. How could Eve have been tempted if she was simply the pure child of God, and so on? But we won't get into that. The important thing is Lucifer got the ball rolling and brought the astral body into the human being prematurely, and this results then in what we see as childhood in the middle grades today, which is often quite a departure from childhood in the primary grades. There's another aspect of this larger Earth evolutionary picture, however, which is that, yes, the spiritual world agreed that on the earth, not in the spiritual world, but on the earth, Lucifer would rule for the first half of Earth evolution, which according to Steiner, that division, that halfway point, comes with what he spoke of as the mystery of Golgotha, the Christ event. Here again, if you want to go more deeply, in more detail, into this question, go down to the Steiner course lectures and you'll be able to hear much more. The second half of Earth evolution, however, Lucifer remains around. He's still engaged, interested in the Earth, and he still has many of his great horde of spiritual beings who would still like to be in charge, but rightfully, according to the higher spiritual beings, now it's Ahriman's turn, and Ahriman becomes the ruler on the earth of the second half of Earth evolution. We could see how the Christ being is a balance between these two forces. So whereas Lucifer brings, we might say, the more flamboyant, extroverted side of the astral body, Ahriman works much more on the introverted side, on the side that kind of seethes and becomes totally self-referential, the kind of intrapersonal obsessiveness of me, 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 me. And we even speak of the me generation, though that's become a little bit passé now. So Ahriman also, instead of a more artistic approach, living more in the realm of beauty, how do I look, is much more interested in materializing, in mechanizing, in technologizing the world. Once again, he's got the permission of the spiritual world to do this. It's absolutely necessary so that we human beings can really completely, fully feel our relationship to the mineral world. When you come to grade 6 in a couple of years, you'll see again how important the Ahrimanic impulse is, or should be, in Waldorf education. We tend to get a bit stuck in Lucifer only. So Ahriman also works in the modern astral body. And we might say he makes himself present, he makes his presence known far more strongly in our time, in the 21st century, than he did in the 20th century, the 19th century. So that the issues facing fourth graders today, though in essence they are the same as those faced by the fourth graders in the third decade of the 20th century when Waldorf education was getting underway, they're also greatly intensified, and one might say the playing field has darkened, that there's much more of a pall cast over the whole thing. And Ahriman is basically giving us all together, and children in particular, the message that you can socialize, you can be a social being without having to be a social being, that you can just sit at home and looking at your computer screen, texting, whatever you want to do with your various mobile devices, and you can be a social being in that way. Now, a disclaimer here. Of course, you can do a Waldorf conference this way. We all recognize that. No problem there. But of course, those of you who are taking part in this conference, in your evaluations, I'm sure a number of you will say, I love the conference, it was great, but I missed the camaraderie of my colleagues. I missed, you know, sitting around drinking coffee and talking about what we struggled with in grade 3 and what our ambitions were in grade 4. I missed seeing old friends, people I knew in training, and that's perfectly okay, and I'm not hurt by that. I can't offer you that. I try to be as social as possible. Believe me, I do, but you know. Anyway, so let's go back to the 10-year-old. They are being told you can play a game with another person who may be thousands of miles away on your computer. You can be in touch with the deepest strivings and the sorrows and the joys of your friends without ever having to leave your room. In fact, even when you're with your friends, you won't look at them directly and talk to them. You just will text them. You're right there with each other, and maybe you're playing a computer game with one another. It's really bizarre when you think about it, but it's absolutely in line with the way that Ahriman works. He wants to destroy the true social bonds of people and substitute instead a complete mechanization of everything that we do. So the fourth grader today is pulled in that direction as well. Not only are they trying to learn how to deal with somebody who may be bullying them, insulting them, excluding them, not inviting them to a party, and so on and so on and so forth, they've also got to deal with this entire avatar realm, this substitute realm, this second life, this Facebook relationship world, and try to make something of all of that. So here again, if we just ignore that, or if we just say, that's not good, you can't do that, whatever, okay, you know, pretend it's not there anymore because we said you shouldn't do it, we are going to have to learn ourselves how to deal with this, how to understand it, so that, as in so many other things, we can be a model for the children in our own behavior, and also we can be giving them good advice. On their level, we can be understanding what they're going through, what they're being pulled into, that Lucifer and Ahriman are giving them the kind of good cop, bad cop routine, and it's really, really rough. So what I'm saying, my dear colleagues, is this summer, it's bad enough that you're stuck in front of this computer screen listening to me for 14 days. That's not enough. You're going to have to go on to Facebook. You're going to have to play some video games. You're going to have to go into a world that perhaps you would just as soon avoid completely so that you can understand what it is that draws your fourth graders there. Now, maybe you feel that's not going to happen to my fourth grade. Eugene, you don't know my parents. You don't know my grandparents. Yeah, I forgot about the grandparents and the neighbors, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. You know, sorry, folks. Fourth grade, this is when it starts to happen. If you're super, super lucky, if you're, you know, such a sterling teacher that everybody thinks you're God and wouldn't dare go near all of that stuff, okay, it'll happen in grade 5. Or it'll happen in grade 6. It's coming down the line. And it's good for you to be proactive to learn about these things yourself and see what's going on and to see why it is so incredibly tempting. And if I can give you a hint, I'd say in part, look at the video games, and it's astonishing how many of them are essentially Norse myths. Sometimes they even use the exact names of the gods. Another aspect of the social life of grade four boys is the comic book, and those also are becoming increasingly available online, and also the trading card, which used to be just baseball, and it was bad enough the guys are, you know, looking at them during every recess, passing them around and so on. Then they started to realize these have monetary values, and suddenly all of these monetary transactions are going on at recess time. And keep your eye open for that. It hasn't stopped. Trading comic books, cards, but also buying and selling them. An interest in the social aspect of the mercantile life also arises at this age. You'll just see, it's amazing. They're really learning what the world is about, but they don't have the maturity to put it in perspective. And you have to keep your eyes open and keep helping with that. But we also now have these cards and sort of Bitcoin-like phenomena in which children get a certain number of points in a video game, computer game, and that gives them then the capacity to buy better weapons or beef up their hero avatar figure and trade that and all of that. It's really getting complicated. And here again, you've got to learn what's out there. And I'd say this summer is as good a time as any. Just when your children are starting to awaken to it, it's good for you to do that as well. There's no getting around it that most of us who get involved in Waldorf education are more sort of in the Lucifer fan club because of the artistry, the beauty, the grandeur of all that Lucifer guided humanity to create. And maybe we're not so strongly in the Ahrimanic side. Or perhaps we don't want to acknowledge that we are and even try to keep it a secret from ourselves. I sure see how many Waldorf teachers have Facebook pages. It's interesting for a movement that is so opposed to media, but that's another question. So, Lucifer and Ahriman, both becoming active figures in the child's life. And this is why it shouldn't surprise us that in his great set of lectures meant to be an addendum to the study of man, Rudolf Steiner in Balance in Teaching speaks about the child as a battleground. And we shouldn't be surprised that the Norse myths are a battleground in and of themselves. Somebody's always getting his head bashed in or speared or whatever. Yes, this is really what is going on in the child. It's no longer just the dark wood with the light of the hut in the distance, which may be good or bad. Now it's really an active shoot 'em up going on. Another reason that video games are so popular. And also we might say the use of the word as a weapon, as children learn that they can insult one another and hurt one another and evoke laughter among their friends in doing that. This is all part of the great battle being waged by Lucifer and Ahriman over what? Over the soul of the child, to bring that child into one camp or the other. And we might say that, of course, according to Rudolf Steiner, the only redeeming force that can not eliminate these beings, they can't be eliminated, they have their right to be here, But to bring them into balance and open up that space for the child is what Steiner termed Christianity, the Christ impulse. So interestingly enough, this year, with its tremendous joy in paganism, it's a very, very pagan year, fourth grade, this is also the year where the children really need to feel the presence of a balancing force. And as I said earlier, in Steiner's original conception of the seven grades, grade four was the fulcrum, the year of balance, just when the children are being pulled in so many directions at once. But of course, as you'll see when you teach mechanics in grade seven, that the fulcrum, the center point, there is tremendous stress and tension. And that's how it is with the fourth grader. So this is the year in which we must bring tremendous balance, and I'd say a kind of Christ impulse, into the classroom without the name ever being mentioned, or without us being preachy or anything like that. What a great task. Very, very challenging year. And remember, do it all with a big smile on your face, because the year is all about joy.